Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the several peoples that inhabit the hills to the east and west and north and south of here. Good evening to the farmers and the fishermen still pulling some kind of lamprey out of that dead, dying sea. Good evening to the birds, hungry, too hungry to fly. Good evening to the squirrel, no nut to put in a hole. Good evening to the planet Boblimpdoc. It's Wednesday, hump day. November the 30th, 2022, and as a gentle reminder, I still have the flu, but I haven't pooped my pants in a while. It's probably because of this, you know, medication that my friend gave me. You're not supposed to do that. And me and my friends say, fuck you. I'm going to get some coffee here. Because like I said, I haven't had a blowout since I think 6 a.m. And that's good news here in local Boblimpdoc. But it is November the 30th, 2022. Fuck you. It's right around 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The sun is setting in Utah. Yes, indeed, the sun is going down. It does seem like my fever is breaking, and it does seem like I'm getting better, so God bless. If any of you said a prayer for me, I'm certain it helped. And to any family that are listening, as a gentle reminder, I sometimes talk about personal experiences, and if these are shocking and strange to you, okay. Also, forgiveness doesn't mean I ever want to go back to fucking Seattle, ever. The fact that I love my family and I pray for you guys doesn't mean I ever want to go back there. I don't want to go on a disease ship. I don't want to go on a plague ship. And at this point, every motherfucker with a baffle, aka coffee filter on their fucking faces, recycling their poison breath, producing special fungi, producing shitbird bacteria, and then producing turbulence. Because that's what the filter does. It energizes particles. Actual bioweapon deployment systems use baffles. I don't know if you're aware of that. So the idea that you should have millions of people walking around with fucking coffee filters on their faces, it's a form of mental illness, but it literally goes against how bioweapons actually work. One component of a bioweapon is the agent. The agent could be bacteriological, it could be viral, it could be fungal. But the use of the baffle creates turbulence, and turbulence energizes the particles. That means the bacteria and the viruses, the fomites, stay in the air longer. So you go ahead and wear your fucking coffee filter. I don't give a fuck, man, but I'm never going on a plague ship again. If you want to fly in these plague ships and take 50 kinds of vaccines so that you can be treated like a giant piece of shit, man, you do it, baby. That's your brilliant future. When I was a kid, they told us we'd be on Mars. When I was a kid, they said we have flying cars. When I was a kid, I'd have a robot wife for the rest of my life, causing me no strife. Yeah, when I was a kid, the future they painted for us, sans smart devices, ironically named aka dog collars, the future they painted for us was not this, okay? Except for the movie Soylent Green. Like, I would say the film Soylent Green captures a lot of it. It's a little bit over the top and kind of silly, but frankly, there are parts of Seattle that, you know, I haven't visited there recently, but based upon what I've been told, there are parts of Seattle where I think they're about ready to send in the scoops. You know the scoops? The garbage trucks where they scoop up the people and take them to the dump. You know. Where they become Soylent Yellow. Or Soylent Orange or Soylent Red. They become the food of the gods. that protein we all get. It's Taco Tuesday. Do you have your ticket stub? Did you do your duty on garbage day? And guess what? Like the fireman in Fahrenheit, you know, Fahrenheit 451, like the firemen that are ironically named, garbage day is going to be an interesting day in the future. There's going to be a new can in Seattle. It'll be a special can. If you're a citizen of Seattle, you're going to get a brand new plastic can, potentially in the next 6 to 18 months. And it's going to be for garbage day. And you say, what does that mean, Dan? Are you some kind of fucking creep? Yeah. Garbage day is going to be a special day for dumping bodies. And if you dump enough bodies, well, frankly, every body gets you a ticket. And every ticket gets you into Taco Tuesday at the new style taco time in the year 2025 Bo Blimp Doc. And on Taco Tuesday, everybody gets protein. Now, protein in 2025 will be horrifically expensive. You know, you'll get your cricket flour and your roach paste, and there'll be all kinds of lamprey sauce. But, you know, anything approaching what you're used to, that good old-fashioned pork taco, you only get that on Tuesday. And that's only if you make sure to turn in your garbage on garbage day. Like, if you have an old person in your home, they're not really dead yet, but here's the deal. Just like with property crime in Seattle, they're gonna stop investigating most murders at some point. Oh my God. And there will be garbage day. The truth is, I'm joking about this because the system doesn't have the juice to do that. You know, it doesn't have the juice to do a lot of shit that people have been fear-mongered about. It's why I get frustrated with the Alex Jones crowd, because they want to talk about FEMA camps and shit like that, but ultimately, the FEMA camps were already built. They were built, they were engineered. They're every suburb, every city in the United States of America. And they're not going to deliver any food. There are going to be no guards. There's going to be no electricity. And they don't care because they're going to be nowhere nearby. Their main goal, the people that run the world, is to avoid being killed. To avoid having their reality shattered too much and to somehow survive. Me personally, if I see this from a secular perspective and knowing what I know about bunker building and Biosphere 2 and all the experiments in managing microenvironments over decades, let alone centuries, if we're talking about a worst case scenario, there's no bunker you can build to survive what's coming at all. It just wouldn't work. And if it's the best case scenario, it's a giant question mark. How long you would stay outside of the directed heat of the rage of the people, because there are going to be people left alive. Many of these people will have access to nuclear weapons, and if they figure out where you're living, yeah. So I don't know, man. I think at this point, I just don't know. But I feel like I'm getting better. If you're a family member listening, I love you and I forgive you. I don't ever want to bring this up again. If you listen to this podcast and I talk about one of my experiences, I can either leave you out, which I did once and I got yelled at about, true story, and I actually have podcast evidence for that, and I can include you. And you can choose either one. I don't name anybody. I do talk about the evil sister, but it's no fucking secret in my family. And I don't think she fucking cares. It's really just a question of, is there anything going on in there? And I just don't know. It's really not my fucking business and I don't fucking care. But I'm only going to do this a couple more times because I'm just irate about it. I am so deeply buried on the internet that to have some fucking curious opinion about whether or not people would learn that we've had shitty holidays in the Sullivan family, holy fuck. Go tell all 60 of the people that listen. At least, you know, if Spotify is telling the truth, right? If they're telling me the truth. or Bluehost is telling me the truth about how many people visit my site. I mean, there are a few things you can put in your head right now, but you gotta look out for the contradictions, baby, because those things will drive you crazy. And if you're gonna tell me everything's normal and okay, then yeah, don't worry, no shitheads are listening to me. And if it's not, then no shitheads are listening to me, don't worry about it. I don't really want to bring this up again, but it just pisses me off. It really does. And I don't blame a human being for having a memory of an event and it being uncomfortable and then being annoyed that they have to hear about it. What I blame people for is listening to a podcast where they know what the content is, where it has hundreds of hours of track record of fucking content. That from a Markov model perspective, there is literally nothing new under the sun. And the fact that a topic might come up again, especially one concerning the holidays, well, gee whiz, most of my fucking holidays have sucked. I had a few when I was married, I'll be honest with you, a few Christmases in Chicago I enjoyed. I don't know if it was because of my ex-wife or because it was something else, I don't know, but I enjoyed it. Maybe the reason why I enjoyed it is because the people I hung out with weren't very ostentatious. They weren't really big into a lot of just materialistic bullshit. That for whatever issues I had with my ex-wife, and frankly, I was a crappy husband, hanging out with them for Christmas was relaxed. I was never worried, in reality, about anybody being picked on. And I was never really worried about somebody ending up getting angry or super crazy drunk, even if they were drinking. Yeah, but other than that, most of my holidays have sucked. You know, the holidays in Korea, the ones I had there, kind of weren't that great. The ones I had since my divorce weren't that great. None of them were that great. You know, it's like that Freckles quote, but don't ask me about the bad ones. Ask me about the good ones. It's an easier number to remember. So yeah, I guess I do talk about shitty holidays. And guess what? In the world of comedy and writing and talking about Christmas and Thanksgiving, shitty holidays is a fucking cliche. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people. A lot of big families do. They have crazy holidays. Sometimes they go sideways. I encounter lots of people with bad holiday stories. I don't encounter tons who have really great ones that are believable. And there are some that seem like, you know, a kind of like perfect sociopathic holiday. Like, I know of people who have those types of holidays. And then there's always the, we went to Hawaii. You know, that's a good holiday. But the homespun Norman Rockwell style holiday, not really a thing, to be honest with you, for me. And that's all I'll say about that. And maybe I won't talk about this issue again, but I think I can love people in my family and I can pray for them and yes, forgive. But I don't ever want to, nor do I believe it's going to be a question that I ever go back to Seattle. It's not a good place for me. It might be the healthiest fucking place in the world for every other human being on planet Boblimpdoc, but for me, it's a fucking shithole. And it's only gotten worse, and the attitudes have only gotten worse. I think at some point in the near future, yeah, I think I mentioned McNeil Island, but I think they're gonna do it. They're gonna fucking, you know, we saw that documentary from 2019, Seattle is dying. And they'll load the fucking homeless onto a ferry and they'll dump them at McNeil Island and they'll all slowly starve out there. But you know what? If you control the media, you can overlay a bunch of emojis and make it look all kind of nice. You know? I think that Seattle is definitely in the grip of Satan. And I know how that sounds to some people. Dan, you have a fever. You're crazy. It's diarrhea of the mind. No, I think Seattle's in the thrall of Satan. It's in the thrall of all those things Satan offers you that have nothing to do with the kingdom, nothing to do with the everlasting life and our condition with Jesus. They have to do with stuff on earth that is guaranteed to turn to shit. There isn't one thing in this world that isn't going to disintegrate over time. And if someone told you they had a magical way to stop that, they're lying to you. So you have a choice if you're a Christian. You can invest your effort in the shit of this world. And again, I'm not talking about joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm not talking about Maslow's hierarchy. I'm talking about the stuff that Jesus talks about in prophecy where, you know, in the end times, people, you know, have a cold. They turn, you know, they turn their heart turns to stone and they get focused on the things that make their daily personal life more and more amazing. Having stuff is not bad. But it gets to a point where it becomes a kind of creeping evil. And you add to that other forms of crookedness going on in our society, there are places like Seattle that feel like they're becoming hell. And it's a self-imposed hell. It's like the douchebag that has a garage and they turn it into a bungalow. It's got a cracked foundation. It's got an issue with PERC. You won't get on the city line. You'll have to get an REI toilet. 500K. No, a million. $1 million. Somebody will have this. And I don't think that's true right now. I think that whole world is falling apart. But a few years ago, be like, this is my bungalow. It's $1 million. And the same person will bitch and moan about homeless people down the street. And as I've told you, brothers and sisters, if the government created a Fannie and Freddie for food and water, you would have people starving in the streets, dying of thirst, and warehouses filled with food and water. These are not things anybody should inject a financial model into. Food, water, shelter, those are things you need. Those are not things you want. Me personally, I say get the government out of all of it. Don't be a fucking commie. Don't be a student loan commie. I was one of those once. Don't be a real estate commie. Most motherfuckers I know are one of those, you know? Not all, but many. So don't be a commie. Give up on the government money. Give up on the Fannie Freddie. But the funny thing about this rant, it's so fucking irrelevant. Where we're at in the game, this whole rant is stupid. It's not even, there's no point to it. In theory, Jerome Powell could, you know, lower rates. And if that happens, it's basically going to bust the dollar very quickly. And when that happens, inflation will take off. It won't be deflation, okay? If he lowers the rates, inflation will take off. But the thing is, if he keeps raising rates, as ironic as this sounds, the same thing's probably going to happen. You think, well, the dollar will get super strong. A super strong dollar in the context of trade is like a giant lead brick that has no value. You have to drag it around, but it does nothing for you. These countries, these developing countries, they kind of need cheap dollars. They don't need the super strong ones. So in either case, the world is, there's nothing the world can do with the US dollar now except dump it. So there's going to be no housing recovery after this. If you live someplace where there's no food or water, you should move. And chances are you're going to be moving about the same time every other motherfucker in that city wants to move. And you'll be saying, well, why did everybody get on the streets? You know, why everyone got on the fucking streets at the same time? Because they were like you. I'm not worried. They were just like you. They said to themselves, this is the life. This is the stuff. This is my kingdom. And it cannot be destroyed. And government makes promises, they have to keep them. I wish motherfuckers would meditate on every mass grave for Native Americans in this country when they think about promises. I mean, please get over that shit. They promise you this, they promise you that. They lied to you, okay? Social Security won't last 100 years, okay? If someone was born the year that FDR passed Social Security, theoretically, they could live long enough to see it, yeah, cease to exist. They could have been a user of it, and they could theoretically see it vaporize, in my opinion. That's how super strong and super capable Social Security is. But like every other part of this crooked, crooked Rube Goldberg device, all these pieces got to work until they can't. The crypto kind of has to work, which means I don't know if Bitcoin bottoms at the end. I think it just kind of freezes. The stock market kind of has to work. It could keep going up weeks after there's no food. And the US dollar has to kind of work even after every other country on the planet's rejected it. So I think that Jerome Powell's job, other than making sure he has a helicopter on hot standby, Jerome Powell's job is just to keep the plate spinning. And I said this in the summer of 2021, you know, that what we're talking about is not going to be gentle descent. It's not going to be a soft landing. Soft landing from what? We've likely been in a papered over global depression since the year 2008. So what exactly are we going to soft land to? This is the other side of the mountain. And the sun's going down and the trail is rough and there's pitfalls. And some of them are small enough that you might scrape your leg, but it's no big deal. Some of them you might twist an ankle. Some of them, if you're not careful, you know, you could knock your head out. You know, you could die. And you won't see it coming. And that's where we're at in the game. And no one's going to tell you. Anyways, I love my family. I don't really care if they love me. I do pray for them, and I don't really give a shit if they pray for me. It's not my business to know. It's between them and Christ. And do I think that I have people in my family that care about me? Sure. But I can't help people if they actually believe this current situation that I find completely untenable is going to last. And you know what? If I am crazy, I think we're going to find out soon. Like I said in the previous podcast, we're going back to the moon in 2024. And to me, that's an excellent fucking marker for when they expect everything to just sort of, I don't know, end. Doesn't mean end of the world, but it does mean the end of an epic. And the dollar's toast in 2024. Perhaps 2023, baby. And then you say, well, Dan, what should I invest in? Well, number one, if we're talking about the end times, there's no amount of MREs or gold or silver or ammo or anything else you can stockpile that's going to make much of a difference. You know, the Lord's plan sort of overrides all that. If we're talking about ordinary difficult times, like the 14th century, then yeah, you can have food and you can move someplace and learn how to do three-field farming and learn how to purify water and learn how to live a long-term existence without access to diesel fuel and gasoline and, you know, petrochemical fertilizers. These are things you can do. And if you can find the right community that has enough geographic isolation, your odds of survival increase. But is there a safe spot on this airplane as it rapidly descends from 35,000 feet? The answer is no. There's no seat on the airplane. I remember in 2014, brothers and sisters, think about that. I got a video. If you check out the video archives, go back to 2014, there's a video of me and my train ride from Seattle, my previous exodus from Seattle to Indianapolis. And at one point in the video, I say, I feel like I'm just changing seats on an airplane. Yeah. That was 8 years ago. And at the time, I wasn't ready to say it's all over. It's just that I was convinced that in a decade, about a decade, shit was going to just be absurdly stupid, and it didn't matter where you were living. You can do things to increase your odds of survival. And maybe the most important thing you can do, and keep in mind, I got a fever going now, so don't judge me too harshly. I pooped out most of my electrolytes. Yeah. most of them. Gone out the bunctus hole, you know. Sorry, I lost my thought. I don't know. Yeah. I think that there are things you can do. If it's ordinary collapse of a currency, I think what we end up in is a kind of depression that they can't paper over. But it's not going to be like an ordinary depression that we would be used to. In the 19th century and really the 20th century for a large portion of it, there were enough resources available that even as bad as things might have gotten, like during the depression of, I think, the 1870s or the Great Depression, there were still resources. I mean, it was hard, and there was the Dust Bowl. That wasn't so good. But we had resources, so even if we didn't know what to do, you could go find and steal some resources, and you could feed some people somehow. All of it very crooked, all of it very communist, not a very good solution to a problem. But there's just not going to be the resources. We built this kind of economy of growth that isn't based upon anything Christian or anything about freedom, but it is based upon the banking industry. It is based upon issuing credit. And the problem with the issuance of credit is it tends to be geometric. Well, there are very few things in an ecosystem that you want to, well, actually, I think there's almost nothing. If your ecosystem is in equilibrium state, there's virtually nothing you want to be geometric. You want it to be sinusoidal. You want it to be Markov. You want it to be predictable within range. But you just don't want it to keep growing and growing and growing like the blob from that sci-fi movie consuming everything. Because that would be, you know, that would mean the ecosystem gets destroyed. But in the last 100 years, and especially since 1972, when Nixon closed the gold window, yeah, we've been sold this idea of unlimited credit. And then you got guys like Paul Krugman saying, there's no amount of debt we can accrue. Like, we can keep accruing debt, we can keep printing money. Of course, he's backpedaled a little in recent years. I think that he's a cover-your-ass kind of guy, too. And it's hard to say how real that guy is. Like, he seems like a traveling roadshow of bullshit. So it's hard to say. He might be real, he might be bullshit, I have no idea. So if you ask me, what went wrong, mostly, in terms of our condition and our relationship with God, in terms of our relationship with nature, and in terms of our relationship with each other, what went wrong was the bad money. We should have never gone down that road. We should have never gone down the road to believing that credit by itself, in and of itself, is an asset. That credit cards are an asset. That debt, the issuance of debt, is an asset. It's not. It's a giant black hole masquerading as value. You know, it's a lie. And if you work in the banking industry and you take this personally, understand, we all live on the fucking Death Star, so you taking it personally doesn't make a lot of sense. It's what I would call wasted outrage, okay? There's a guy who drives a drone in Vegas. He blows up a family, but in order for him to do it, you know, he has low blood sugar, so he orders a pizza from Domino's. Now, you could say, well, shit, what are you getting at here, Dan? The Domino's guy is not innocent, and the fact that he chooses not to understand what's going on, that doesn't make a person innocent, no more than Germans who just pretended to believe the Madagascar bullshit that Hitler would spew. You know, that doesn't make you innocent. That makes, in some ways, that makes you worse, because you know the truth on some level, but you just love putting the lies out there and pretending, oh, I didn't know. How could we have known? Nobody knew. What a load of horse shit. And I know this is a super rant, but I'm a little bit sick, so you need to understand. I don't want to go back to Seattle for the same reason I don't ever want to fly in a plane again. And I didn't expect to, because it made me sick. Being there made me sick. Looking at the sky made me sick. And every day was worse. And it all led to a crescendo and a typical sort of like holiday blowout that can occur anytime, any place. My family is not that special. And I had to fly back a couple days after I flew in, and that made it worse, and go on a disease ship. Because they are disease ships to me, baby. They are. They're gross. They're nasty. They're filled with gross, nasty people. I don't want to be on one ever again. And I don't have any great positive thoughts about any of that fucking bullshit at all. Really. None. Yeah. First topic. First official topic, right? Even though I've been blabbing. But I do feel like the diarrhea is getting better, even though it may be manifesting in my mouth. Oh, you got diarrhea of the mouth. Fuck you. Fuck you. Go get your artisanal ricotta latte espresso. Go drive out to, I don't know, fuck. Go up to Lake City Way. There's a strip club. There's a gentleman's club there. Excalibur or something. Go see Margarita. She's on stage after Chastity. Go see Teresa. She's on stage after Sanctity. Yeah. Tell them the story. I don't fucking care. I love my family. I wish them well. I'm glad I got to see my brother. I hope he has a good trip to wherever he's going. But there's nothing I can do, and I'm just getting tired of the same conversations over and over again, or just silence. So yeah, I just wish people luck. I don't know how much. I think the moon trip's a good marker, buddy. If you're asking yourself, Dan, what's a good marker right now? I'd say the moon trip, because I think it's bullshit, and I think they know it's bullshit, and it's never gonna happen. But you know. If 2024 isn't a thing, then you don't really have to worry about it, do you? I personally think that's why they've been postponing it. It isn't because it was hard to do. It's probably impossible to do. It's because they needed to pick a point in the future when it wouldn't fucking matter. When there would not be a moon trip, because there probably won't be electricity. And it could be worse, baby. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I have to say I don't believe in the end of the world, because there's nothing in the Bible that says the world ends. Here's something we do know. The Bible has an ending to it, but it's not an ending that sort of wraps everything up. It's an ending that is, you know, another question mark. And it's one of discernment and faith. It's where you ask the Holy Spirit, what does it mean that the Lord lets the devil out for a while, and there's a battle of Armageddon, and all of the, you know, unbelievers and the devil are tossed into hell forever and sealed up? I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that's more or less the way the book of Revelation ends. And that's after 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling on earth as the king in his kingdom, with our kingdom bodies and our kingdom lives. That's 1,000 years of paradise, probably. I mean, it's the closest, probably, you get to Eden on earth. Maybe even better than Eden, really. That's what the kingdom is. And you still have to go through the tribulation. You still have to go through all of the stuff involving the Antichrist on the front end before you ever get to the kingdom, you know. So I don't believe it's the end of the world. And if it's not the end times, it's still not the end of the world, you know? The scary thing is that we are being lied to. And because we're being lied to, there are questions, you know, questions. Yeah, first topic. Oh, I've talked about my Schrodinger's healthcare plan before. You know, when I get sick like this, and it's very rare actually, but when it does happen, it kind of like says to me, Dan, you should drink less beer. This is true. You should never smoke cigarettes. This is probably true, but it's a bummer. You probably don't need cocaine. This is probably true, but it's a super bummer. And you know what? If I had an 8-ball of cocaine and the nuclear missiles got launched and one was heading towards me, I think Jesus would be okay if I sniffed a little. I could be wrong. But no, when I get sick like this, it makes me wonder, should I take better care of myself? And the simple answer is yeah. But then I look up at the sky and I say to myself, how can anybody really take care of themselves when clearly something's being dumped on us and we're not being told the truth about that either? You know, about the only source of information I've come across on this topic of geoengineering is Dane Wigington, and he seems like an honest guy. I'm sorry I can't say he is an honest guy. I don't know him personally. You know, he seems like he's honest. It seems like he's steadfast. I find his, some of his stuff a little bit corny, but maybe I'm a dick. And the fact is, with respect to this topic, he appears to be really well researched. So if you're going to want to get into the topic and understand the topic of geoengineering, Dane Wigington's a good place to start. But I don't know the truth, baby. I don't know if he's telling the truth. You know, I've talked about the fool in propaganda theory, but I've also talked about the sheepdog. And you know, you're in this thing called the Overton window, and it's the allowable space of discourse and debate. And the sheepdog's role, if you happen to get outside of that little field called the Overton window, is to kind of just, you know, gather you up. You might get to go a few hundred feet away. You might get to take a little bit of a walk, but the sheepdog will make sure that you make it back home. So whether it's Alex Jones or Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or any other joker on CNN or Fox News or on the alt world, they're not going to let you get too far off the reservation. No. Anyways, that's a big rant away from the topic of Schrodinger's healthcare. My point is, I don't know. I went to the hospital and they looked inside and they found nothing. And I'm not saying they found an emptiness, but maybe that's what they found. Maybe there's nothing inside me. Maybe I'm a big empty husk. I don't know. Some days I get burned out. Some days I get sad and I cry when I think about what could be avoided. And even now, a big portion of the pain could be avoided if people simply knew how to say no. You know, that maybe the government threatening them and poking at them and wanting to treat them like shit, that maybe that's wrong, that maybe it's more like a criminal organization, and that they have a right to say no. And if enough people say no, that shit stops. But people get their gimmies and their giveaways, they get their special grants and monies side by side, they get their Federal Reserve insiders, their derivative products outsiders, they get their, you know, special tax-exempt statuses, and you go through the list of giveaways and gimmies, and everybody is kind of like sucking off the tit. Everybody's a commie on the Death Star. Did I tell you that? Everybody's a communist on the Death Star? Holy fuck. Have you ever seen those movies? Have you seen the fucking uniforms? Giant fucking Mao suit commies. So yeah, everyone's a commie on the Death Star. That's also what you need to know. Every motherfucker is a communist. And they all got their hand out for something. They all get angry that somebody else got more. And they complain about the welfare queens. But God forbid Jerome Powell raises interest rates. God forbid Trump ends the state and local tax exemption. You know, everybody's got their fucking handout. The farmers, the fishermen, the flyers, the flounders, the journalists, even Bitcoin wants a bailout. Fuck you, Bitcoin. Fuck you, crypto world. Everybody on the Death Star is a fucking communist. Including me, to be honest. I try to live a minimalistic life so I can be the smallest fucking footprint communist on the Death Star. But if I'm being honest, I'm a shitbird too. We're all shitbirds. But if we learned how to say no, we would have the potential of everything that's about to happen, being a lot less terrible. If we just knew how to, like, stand up for ourselves and live a free life. But that's not going to happen. So, yeah, the reason why I get kind of dark is because as much as I would love it for people to reject the bullshit, they want more. So anyways, I don't look inside my body because whatever. Next topic. Okay, so there's the story about Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX and his girlfriend. And I don't think they're going to go to jail. You know, that Theranos woman, whatever her name is, I don't really care. She might end up going to jail, but I don't think that Sam Bankman-Fried or his girlfriend are going to go to jail. But I was imagining, you know, that Theranos, you know, fraudster, Theranos, the little chip in your head type thing, Elizabeth Holmes, and Carolyn Ellison from the FTX debacle. And I was thinking, holy shit. Here you've got the potential for like a remake of one of the classic films in cinema history, Women in Cages. And it's a Pam Grier film, which means it's the highest quality possible. You know. Spend too much time on this because it's even seeming disgusting to me, but it would be interesting. They both get out of jail in a couple years, never going to happen. They're never going to go to jail. I got to say, jail's probably not going to be a thing in a couple years. Oh, there might be jails, but there'll be people locked inside who can't get any food. And that means it's more like a, I don't know. Like a mausoleum. Yeah, I think every prison in this country will become a kind of mausoleum in a couple years. But Dan, people will be good Christians. No, no, no. They won't even attempt to tell the difference between a violent criminal or not. They'll just leave people inside to die. Maybe in some cases they'll go from cell to cell and they'll blow people's brains out, but I kind of think they'll just leave people in the prisons to die. It's not the reset. It's not the WEF. Carolyn and Elizabeth are not going to jail. But we can imagine women in cages, though. Yes, we can. We can imagineer women in cages if we want to. So you guys think on that next topic. Here is an article from the Weekly World News, and believe me, that's how much I have respect for the journalist class now. And this article is from September 9th, 2022, written by Guy LaFleur. And the title is, How to Tell If You're in a Cult. And I read on. Many people around the world attend gatherings, community groups, religious services, or secret organizations, even during the pandemic. Some do it on Sunday mornings. Others do it on different days or nights of the week. When you are surrounded by the people in your chosen group, you may find that you ask yourself, am I in a cult? Well, we're going to dig deep here, and to help answer that question, there are clear telltale signs that you are actually in a cult. Number one, money. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants money. Most legitimate organizations, they want your fucking money. Yeah, most legitimate organizations, often churches, want up to 10% of everything you make. Sometimes less if you're lucky. A cult wants 90 to 100% of your money, and worldly possessions. In other words, a cult is a blood-sucking vampire that drains you of all you own. Time, yes. You can be very active in your group, dedicating large chunks of your time, but a cult monopolizes all of your time, except when you need to go to work. And it's important that you go to work so you can give your money to them. This is a clear sign you're in a cult, baby. There's a charismatic leader. Let's face it, you don't want to follow a leader who is just some drab, boring old white guy. These guys are typically someone who couldn't find a date for the prom or a friend to toss a ball to, but they are not a cult leader. Cult leaders always have a dynamic personality, baby. They play music, sing, are athletic, have long hair and a brilliant smile. People are drawn to a cult leader, like vegans are drawn to cauliflower rice. Sure, cult leaders may be a bit aggressive and demanding at times, but they are oh so captivating. If you feel like you need to be around this person 24 hours a day, you may be in a cult. Aliens. As much as we all love aliens, if you're in a new group and they are telling you they are from planet Gutan, you're probably in a cult. You may want to stay on Earth just a wee bit longer. If they won't let you leave until you sign a gazillion year contract with Pluto's moon, you may be in an extraterrestrial cult. The dress you wear, the clothing, baby. The handlers, there are handlers and sex orgies. You know what? You guys can read the rest of this yourself. What I find interesting, even though this is Weekly World News, is the commentary about taking all your money and all your time. In my adult life, what I have seen the United States government do through regulation, through the way the tax code works currently, is to dig deeper into your time and your space and your money. Me personally, I don't think taxes are legit, but it's one thing to pay a tax. It's another to have to disclose how you made your money. And if you want to say, oh, you must be a criminal then. No, how can I put this? Prior to the IRS, this country did quite well. Okay, this country collected funds and it did pretty well. There is no real reason we needed it except for when the Federal Reserve was created. Because the feds, the bankers, they needed a hook. They needed a way in, and the IRS was a way in. But the IRS is bullshit, you know. So in terms of taking your money, they just don't take your money. They get into your life, and all the stupid regulations steal your time. It's just bullshit. I don't know. Next topic. I thought that would be funnier, but I'm just not in the mood, because clearly the coffee filter cult is not dead. The COVID cult is not dead. The Trump trauma drama cult is not dead. The Ukraine Putin cult is not dead. Yeah. It's not dead. The psychological parades are ongoing. Yeah. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Australia 2020 through 2021 was a dry run for the Ukraine, 2022 through 2023. Now, what did I mean by that? Okay, so I suspect that there is a phenomena occurring right now that is forcing the government to do what it does with respect to geoengineering. I suspect that it's always been the methane bomb. And the thing about the Ukraine war, and I remember saying this in a podcast, I believe, right about the time it started. I said, watch when it heats up and then watch when it cools down. Because here's the deal. If you've got the Ukraine war, that means that 63% of Arctic Circle research, to include critical Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf research, is on hold, controlled, funneled, filtered, which means that if you want to keep the journalists out of the Arctic, you can. And the only other nations, other than a few European, the other nations are all NATO, which means they're basically all lapdogs. So the great thing about the Ukraine war is it more or less put a hold on a lot of open Arctic research last summer. I don't think we know the truth about the Ukraine. It could be real. I remember the stories about Australia, and they were crazy. And then I tried to verify them, and I couldn't. I couldn't verify them. I couldn't verify all the stupid horror stories that were showing up. So the question that occurred to me is any of that bullshit real? I don't know how real the Ukraine is, but if you want to keep a kibosh on an Arctic Ocean that's imploding and boiling with methane, then the Ukraine war is a great way to do that, you know. Next topic. Okay, so there was a movie that came out when I was a kid. And it was called Jekyll and Hyde Together Again. It came out in 1982. And it's a Jekyll and Hyde comedy type, you know, movie with lots of potty humor. And I think, you know, some of those, you know, tit pics and stuff like that. You get to see a woman's boobies. Great. But at one point, the main character is working in an emergency room. And I think a nurse comes in or another doctor says, "We've just had a woman come in and there's a foreign object lodged in her vagina." And it was pretty funny when you're 12. And it was a Japanese dude, right? With his penis stuck in her vagina. But it was pretty funny. Like, if you're 12 years old, that kind of humor keeps you laughing for 10 minutes. Maybe not these days. Kids are pretty jaded. Well, Sweden, a few weeks ago, I think, reportedly found foreign objects. Found some foreign objects and residue. And the reason why this made me laugh is because in the history of modern pornography, Sweden has a reputation. Let's just put it that way. So when I read that article, I was thinking, holy shit, Sweden found a foreign object someplace, some residue? And I don't know how much mileage I get out of that one. I mean, in some ways, this podcast is about clearing out shit in my head. There's a foreign object lodged in her vagina. Boy, Sweden finds foreign objects and residue. I bet they did. And I bet somebody makes a movie on Pornhub about it. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Bite the hand that beats you. Yeah. I think that there's a bit of a myth about the Christian position and pacifism that people don't quite understand. You know, it's like the forgiveness thing. I don't think people understand it, and because of that, they apply it in ways that don't make sense. The Lord says you should turn the other cheek. This is true. But does that literally mean you should stand in a spot and get beaten to death? That's not what it's about. In fact, that's another example of the devil, you know, and sitting up there and saying, you know, Christ, you can have all the hookers and all the gold. All the hookers and all the gold and your body, no matter how attractive and young you are, all of this turns to shit. And so if you think that somehow the Lord was talking about your physical body when he said turn the other cheek, I don't think you understand. I think the Lord was talking about forgiveness and letting go. But he wasn't talking about standing there and being killed. There's no evidence that that's the case. And that's my position on this one. You should forgive if you can, and you should forgive your enemies. But notice the word enemy is still there. And I think the Lord used his words precisely. So you should forgive your enemies, but that doesn't mean they're suddenly your friends. It doesn't mean their interests are your interests, and it doesn't mean you should approve of what they do. And if they come after you with a knife or a hammer to kill you, it doesn't mean you shouldn't defend yourself. The turn the other cheek really doesn't refer to your physical body. It refers to your soul. It refers to the fact that you should be willing to forgive, period. Because Christ took that burden, Christ took those sins to the cross. So it's not your job to carry the grievance. But as far as earthly crap goes, caveat emptor, roll the dice. This is not the kingdom, and it's sure as shit's not Eden. So if you're going to talk about real cheeks and whatnot, I don't want to tell you. I can tell you this, though. I don't believe the Lord ever intended people to simply stand there and take it. It's just that over time, especially with the Romans, and believe me, the Roman culture was a violent culture. So there's no way that violence wasn't going to get into Christianity. It's why the Crusades occurred. The Crusades are a good example of that Roman militant culture that co-opted early Christianity as a state religion. It's a good example of how it deviated from Christianity and went the wrong direction, down the wrong path, making it about stuff and property and kingdoms on earth, physical kingdoms with kings and queens and all kinds of horses that produce shit. Yeah. Bite the hand that beats you. That's my advice. You don't have to put up with it. It doesn't mean you should act out and be violent, but what I would say is you don't have to just take it. You don't have to simply roll over and die. You should forgive your enemies. You should, in that soulful sense, turn the other cheek. But you don't have to turn your, you don't have to, like, I don't know how to put this, offer your head up on a plate. That's not necessary. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. Forgiveness is about the soul. It's not about earthly shit. It never was. It's about the soul. And you should forgive. And you should forgive your enemies. But man, don't pretend that somehow that, no, you know, somehow magically by forgiving your enemy that your enemy will somehow change. I think that's crazy. But who knows? It's a lot to think about. It's funny, the last note I have here is about my trip back for Thanksgiving, because these are old notes from a couple weeks ago almost, and so it's sort of like I'm reading them and I'm saying to myself, I don't know. I've got a little gif of the place I was living at right after my divorce, right after really the separation. And if you look at it, you'll see my kitchen and its state. This would be roughly circa, I don't know, October, probably more like January or February 2014, probably, right before I fled to Indianapolis. So if you're interested, that's what that is. I don't think this was a very good podcast, and for that I apologize, but at least I closed out these notes. And beyond that, you know, I think the diarrhea is getting better. Great. I don't know what to say. I know I say that a lot, and I say a lot, so how could I say I don't know what to say and then just talk for a couple hours? Here's what I mean when I say I don't know what to say. I wish I had the words to reach people. I think I'm failing at that. I don't know how to make any of this so funny that anybody would take it seriously. And I don't think anybody wants to take any of this seriously. We are at the point in the situation where a kind of mass delusion sets in, and the delusion says nothing can go wrong. And in some ways, that's an indication of how sideways shit is. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's like I said in the previous podcast, you might think the Elon Musk thing is a good sign. That's something I predicted in 2020, before the monkey herpes even took off. So you may think it's a good sign. I'm guessing it's not. You make your own judgment call. You may think it's a good sign. We're going back to the moon. We're orbiting the moon next year. Well, more like 2024. And then we're landing on the moon in 2025. Fuck, that's only like what? More than 50 years since we went, right? But we forgot how we went. And then the same motherfucker says, trust the science. Trust the science. Trust the science. Trust the engineers. They forgot how they went to the moon. Trust the science, Dan. Trust the science. They know everything. Well, didn't they forget how they went to the moon? Shut up, you're racist. Watch that movie, Hidden Figures. Trust the science, Dan. You need to take your monkey herpes vax. But didn't they lose a bunch of tapes about the moon? You must be sexist. Fuck you. Trust the science. You wear your coffee filter on your face. Take your booster shot. Bleed out your orifice. Trust the science, Dan. Make sure you trust it. But didn't they tell us that Moore's Law and the singularity meant that technology was developing at a nonlinear rate? But when I look at the contemporary turbofan engine or the contemporary rocket engine, or frankly, the whole idea about going back to the moon again, I don't see Moore's Law. I see a giant fucking joke. So you tell me trust the science, trust the engineers, but it seems like they're full of shit. That's what I would tell you. And it's, you know, it's like the robot apocalypse. Wake me when the streets are cleared of urine and poop and garbage. Wake me when they do the jobs that nobody else wants to do and really need to be done and do them well and cheaply. Wake me when it, you know, a big mean dog can't really just destroy one. I think at this point, you're still looking at robots that are flimsy enough that a big enough dog could tear one to pieces. You know, as crazy as that sounds. Well, they'll make them out of titanium. You know, they'll probably make them out of stuff that's so expensive, you'll never have more than maybe a few hundred thousand of them at most, and they'll still just be drones. Wake me up when any of that bullshit they told me when I was a kid turns out to be true.